Welcome to the City Confessions. I'm Marianne Yip, a native New Yorker, and I'm here to discuss all the thoughts that go through the minds of people living in New York City. Since I'm a native who was born and raised in the city that never sleeps, I come across people who are constantly in a rush. I would like to take a moment to sit down and talk about what's on their minds and what keeps them up at night. So sit back and let's dive into these confessions of people I know and people I just met. Hi guys, welcome back to the City Confessions. I hope you are doing well and staying warm and safe because it's November. Today I have Carolyn Yoshannon. She is the founder of Copina Co., which is a health and wellness company that offers drinkable collagen boost blends that are completely vegan, delicious, and great for your... Hi Carolyn, how are you?
Hi Marianne, I'm well. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I mean, it's gloomy right now, but I know you are in San Diego, so it's sunny.
Yeah, I'm spoiled here. Although I've never actually experienced a full fall in New York, so I'm pretty jealous of you right now.
Really? Oh, I think maybe you're missing out then. It's so maybe. Beautiful. I love like the crisp air and just the transition of wearing like sweaters and boots.
Yeah. Yeah. There's none of that here, but it's nice.
But yeah, so I'm so excited to have you on because we don't know each other, but I know that we connected through a workshop, and I remember we were in this like brainstorming workshop and you spoke about your company, and I just thought it was so amazing because not only am I interested in wellness, but I feel like you are an entrepreneur, a businesswoman, and I'm always curious to hear about, you know, entrepreneur's journey. So why don't we begin by having you introduce yourself, tell the listeners who you are, what you do, what Copina Co. is, and what your relationship is with New York City.
Well, first of all, thank you. Those were very kind words, and it really made my day when I heard you reach out. I think you sent me a DM right after we were both on that Zoom call. So I'm really excited to be on and glad to chat with you. And as you said, my name's Carolyn. I'm the founder and CEO of Copina Co., which is my company that I actually launched this February, in February 2020.
Oh my God, I know. That's another thing. I remember you telling us that, and I was like, oh my God, it's new. And like, obviously with the pandemic. So I want to hear about everything. So yes.
Okay. We'll get to that. Yeah, but I founded my company Copina Co. after years of struggling with acne and gut health issues on my own and being dissatisfied with typical collagen out there, which is sourced from animal products. And I wanted to use my experience healing my body through holistic methods. And also my knowledge of plant botanicals and respect for holistic medicine to create an alternative to typical collagen that could help you get your hair, skin, and nail benefits all from plants. So that's what Copina Co. is. And I launched, oh my gosh, I worked on it for about 8 months. I launched in February. I'm sure we'll get to that. My connection to New York. I live in California. I lived on the East Coast for 6 years for college. And then a few years after I lived in DC, I was in college for Philly, but most of my friends live in New York. And I used to travel so much before the pandemic, just for, you know, work, things like that. But I feel like I would go to New York about 6 times a year. And I feel like there's nothing like the energy of New York. And that's just what I love about it. Like it would always feed my creativity, feed my hustle. I got my product into Bubble in New York by actually like DMing the people on the Bubble platform while I was on the train from DC to New York in February, 5 days after my website went live. And I was like, hey, I'm going to be at the train station in 4 hours. Like, can I come to your office? And they were like, yeah, sure. Bring samples. We're going to videotape you. And I was like, absolutely. Yeah. So that kind of hustles like normal.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Yeah.
I really love that. So that's, and I know that, it was actually funny. The person who connected us, who's amazing, Jacqueline Brennan, who founded Philly, she was in that same trip to New York. She was like, my last pre-COVID dinner meetup, I met her for the first time and was just blown away. And I think that there are so many people doing amazing things in New York that I just love.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. And that's one of the main reasons why I started this podcast. So I'm a native. So I was born and raised here. And I didn't realize how rare it was until maybe like 2-3 years ago. I would meet all these people and they would always ask me, you know, what is it like to be born here and to be raised here? And for me, like a lot of my friends are New Yorkers as well. So I never found that to be like a thing. Like I just thought it was normal. And I feel like a lot of people dream about coming to New York and they book like a one-way ticket with like $100 in their pocket. And it's just, it's mind-blowing that the extremes that people will go to just to live here. You know what I mean? And for me, I'm so grateful that this is my home and my backyard. But energy and hustle are two things that I definitely, definitely think New York City excels in. So bringing it back to you, what were you doing before this idea, before you came up with this idea? And what was the moment when you actually said, you know what, I'm going to go for it?
So I was working in marketing and I was working in food marketing. Copinico is a dietary supplement, so it's a pretty different thing. So it's been definitely a learning curve, learning all of the things about launching, you know, a safe and effective product and just doing it right. But I'd set the intention to start a business for a few years. Like I would just sort of ideate on a ton of stuff. I think I actually had a lot of good ideas over the years, but no, and I don't mean to sound like conceited or anything but I more so think that I'd set the intention to start a business for a long time, and I finally worked up the courage to do so about, you know, in February when I launched. I mean, on my honeymoon, was when I thought of the idea for Copinico. That was last May. That was May 2019, which says a bit to you about how much my brain is always turning about things. But I'd set the intention to start a business for a long time. And I think a lot of people have good ideas for businesses. But taking that leap and taking that first step and being like, I'm going to be willing to fail. I'm going to be willing to be vulnerable. I'm going to be willing to put myself out there. That's really scary. But I finally, I think, I was on my honeymoon. I've been listening to a lot of How I Built This for the last year. I'd also kind of just come off this period of healing my acne holistically for a few years. And it completely changed my life. And I was just thinking, like, why not? Like, there are always a million reasons why it's not the right time to start business, or why you should wait more, or why things need to be lined up a little better. And I was like, why the hell not? This is an amazing idea. This is something that had sort of been percolating under my mind or under my skin for so long, thinking about, you know, I really wanted a plant-based alternative to collagen. I'd had this experience using things like tremella mushroom, grapeseed extract to help heal my body and my skin health. And I was like, I've got to do this. One thing that kind of did push my timeline forward is that my husband is actually active duty Navy. Mm-hmm. So at the time he was deploying, he was deploying like late January of 2020. So I was like, okay, I can be a hermit while he's gone. That's going to be my, like, if I'm ever going to start a company, like that's the time when, you know, my husband's gone for like 8 months. And so that was kind of that. I think having a set time to launch gave me the sort of push that I needed to go for it.
I love hearing that. So for those who don't know, can you explain what collagen is, what are the benefits, and why should we be incorporating it into our diet?
Yeah. So collagen is a huge buzzword that I think a lot of people hear about, but it's kind of complicated and kind of hard to understand what the heck it is all the time. Collagen is an essential protein that our bodies make. So it's found in that connective tissue between our joints. It's part of what keeps our skin supple and helps it fight wrinkles. It helps support strong hair, strong nails. It's an essential protein that our body generates. We lose the ability to generate enough of it over time. And what happens then is that our skin becomes less supple, our hair gets, less strong, we tend to get more wrinkles, and people tend to address that two ways. The typical way has been to take collagen peptides from actual collagen that is made by animal bodies. So it's typically powderized eggshells, fish skins, or cow hides. And Copinico takes a different approach. Our bodies are really cool, and they know how to do cool things. What Copinico does is I worked with herbalists and naturopaths to find the right ingredients that would help supercharge your body to produce more collagen on its own. So some people say vegan collagen, like there's no such thing as a vegan collagen. That's why I'm very careful to say it's collagen boosting, because Copinico is a blend of collagen boosting acids and botanicals that help your body, through the addition of certain amino acids and vitamins, produce more collagen on its own. So the result, without having to consume animal products, is shinier hair, more supple skin, shinier nails for you as well.
Got it. And how would you describe how your products stand out from the rest? Because I just feel like in the wellness market, one, it kind of blew up, right? Within the last 2 years. And like you said, collagen is such a buzzword. Some people don't really know what it does, but just hear about it. So they'll, just search for whatever product is out in the market or what's the most popular and just, again, consume it without really understanding, again, its benefits or the ingredients. Totally. So what makes your products different?
Well, first of all, I have an enormous sweet tooth and I'm a stickler for taste. Like, I'm obsessed with cooking.
Me too.
I love the food scene. So anything that I'm going to have in my life and just put out to the world is going to taste amazing. So number one, the taste is absolutely fantastic. My sister, who's famously picky, is always talking about how she can't believe how good the Matcha Beauty is. That's my personal favorite. But what makes Copinico so unique is the taste, number one, but then the texture of it. The products are extremely effective, and I mentioned that they're vegan alternatives to consuming typical animal collagens. Like, you don't have to have cowhides, fish skins, or eggshells to get your collagen boost to support healthy hair, skin, and nails. You can get those things from plants, and that is so cool. There are some other vegan collagens out there, and I'm always super supportive of other brands. And one thing that, so I never want to say what's negative about them, but one thing that was really important to me with Copinico was to make it something that was super smooth and easy to use. So a lot of the vegan collagen boosting items can have a super small amount of botanicals in them. So you aren't really getting the great benefit from it, or can be very grainy in texture. And that makes them just sort of not taste great and not be the best for blending into lattes and smoothies. So Copinico tastes great, is super effective, and has a fantastic texture that allows it to be blended into lattes, smoothies, baked goods really seamlessly and enhance the flavor and your enjoyment of anything while you're getting your beauty benefits.
That's awesome. I want to first say that I really love the packaging and the colors. They're beautiful. I love that it's simple, but also inviting at the same time. And again, I mentioned that I'm a huge advocate for health and wellness, and I myself love exploring different products and new products. And I sample a lot as well. And that is one thing that I've noticed about companies, and texture is such a huge thing, and I felt I never could really pinpoint what it was. Sometimes I would taste it and I'm like, it's all right. You know, like, I don't, like, love it. But I realize it is the texture because of how well it blends. But, yeah, it sounds great. I can't wait to try it.
One thing that really turned me off from a lot of the beauty industry and the wellness industry when I was making these products is how they're marketed and how they talk to women. Too many wellness products and too many beauty brands are about telling you that you aren't beautiful enough and that you need to buy something in order to change who you are and meet some set standard of beauty. And that's just so wrong to me. And one thing that Copinico, that I'm really passionate about and that Copinico works really hard at, and what makes us different is that we believe that you're at your most beautiful when you're being nice to yourself. It's really about treating our bodies well, giving our bodies something good, and radiating confidence, happiness, and that inner health, because that's what real beauty is at the end of the day. So we believe that you are your most beautiful when you're engaged, confident, happy, and treating yourself well. And that's something that's really important to me in our marketing, you know, in the packaging. Like I really want anytime people interact with the product or our brand, our community, that they really feel that they get energized and feel confident.
That's such a beautiful message. And I think it's amazing how you are associating products with the health benefits, but then also tying in with self-care, right? And mental health. And I want to ask you, you know, I feel like just talking with you for such a short amount of time, I can tell that you really try to advocate for being comfortable in your own skin. So I wanted to know more about, have you always been confident? I know that you struggled with acne and gut health, which is what sparked you to create this company. But how did you find your own confidence?
Well, that's a really good question. And I can tell you maybe how that started with Copinico and then how Copinico has helped me evolve in my confidence too. But I founded my company on wellness kind of from a place of unwellness. Tons of women struggle with this, but I had really terrible cystic hormonal acne. I started having acne when I was like 10 years old. And then it continued in high school and middle school, high school. And I basically, when I was younger, was so upset by that. And, you know, when you're 10, 12 years old, all you see are ads on TV, in magazines, talking about fixing your skin, being flawless. And, you know, I think that things like the Dove campaign and a lot of different brands coming out now, I hope my brand too, contributes to a different message that we're sending to our young girls. But for me, I was like, this is not acceptable to have acne. This somehow makes me less than to have these kind of things. So I went to my dermatologist, who was super upset about my acne, and she prescribed me what's pretty common, but actually really strong medication. So I went on about every oral antibiotic or every over-the-counter medication for acne from the time I was about 10 or 12 to college. So I was on spironolactone, Retin-A, oral antibiotics for 3 years. I went on Accutane twice and did really terrible things to my body. Those are harsh medications, and it really screwed up my gut health. It screwed up my quality of life, just how I felt in my body, how my body was able to process food, stress, sleep, things like that, you know, good things that you should be feeding your body with. And, of course, there was the skin healing part of that, but at the time, I was so obsessed with just fitting in and just meeting a set standard of beauty that I was like, I don't care how I feel. I don't care what this does to my body. I just want to look. I just want to fit in. I just want to have clear skin. And that was like the most important thing. And to me, that was so tied up with how companies typically market to women. And when I turned about 25, I started getting really like terrible cystic acne again. And I was really upset by this because I felt like I went through my acne. I already did all this stuff and it was bad. I mean, it hurt. It was like scarring. It was all over my cheeks and neck and jawline. And I decided that I deserved to feel good and I deserved to treat my body well. And that I would try, instead of going on, you know, a third round of Accutane, that I would try a different way. So I ended up working with a holistic doctor and figuring out, you know, what the heck that was and what does it mean to do holistic medicine, and, you know, pursued a longer path of healing. But it took about 2 years to heal my skin. But I think that time really healed my soul too, because I became more confident. You know, I never used to go outside without makeup. I would just start doing makeup free days. I would be more confident about talking about my acne issues publicly on social media. Cocaine & Co actually started as a blog. So that was just a really big thing, sort of bearing things that I was most embarrassed about with everyone and being like, oh wow, people, you know, millions of other women have this same issue and there's nothing to be embarrassed about. Mm-hmm. And then I think too, I personally find confidence through putting myself in very uncomfortable situations. So I, that's kind of a practice that I have in life. Like, I hate cold water. I will run into the water just because it's cold. And I want to be, you know, I want to be desensitized. Like, I hate putting myself out there, but I started a business and I embrace full accountability for who I am and my actions. And I think that's what attracted me in part into entrepreneurship. But really, the process of starting a business has been somewhat cathartic in that, you know, just having this go live, making mistakes, coming up against roadblocks and being like, there's no way I can move forward. I've screwed everything up. And then realizing there's a solution and moving forward anyway. And just, I really enjoy the journey and feeling like no matter what, there's a way to move forward, that I'm making progress, being graceful with myself and others. That's helped me cultivate confidence as I've started Cocaine & Co. So I created it to help other people be more confident, but it's also made me so.
Mm-hmm. You have such a great mindset, and I think that's probably why you're optimistic and staying true to who you are while still building this business. Because I think a lot of people, when they start a business, they are way too focused on destination, and you are really, really enjoying the journey, understanding that it is a process, right? It's a marathon, not a sprint. So I wanted to ask you, while we'll touch base on COVID as well, because my next question is, what keeps you up at night? And a lot of the time, I feel like New Yorkers, or just like, I guess, people running businesses, don't really take the time to just sit down and tell people what the realities are, what the struggles are. So you can connect this back to what's happening in the world, or, you know, totally change direction of this conversation. But what is stressing you out? What's on your mind? What can you share?
Yeah. So, well, there's so much to say about what's, you know, going on in the world that I think probably too much for me to touch on here. But, so I've found this year that I've had to work hard to reframe my relationship with stress. And sometimes I come up with problems, and I don't know the path forward, or like, and I'm self-funding my business, right? I mean, I started this off my own personal savings and money that I got from doing paid partnerships on my Instagram and my blog for a few years. But I don't know. I feel like this year, like, here's my attitude about this. And I really feel like it's such a boring answer. Like, I'm not going to tell you, like, I don't feel stress. I feel stress on a regular basis. I live with it. But I think that I've realized that it's just a construct. So I was reading this book. I'm obsessed with Dr. Wayne Dyer. I found out about through him by Sarah Blakely. but my friend sent me this book. Actually, Jacqueline Brennan, who introduced us, sent me this book. It's called On the Power of Intention. But I was reading this page on it this weekend, and it was talking about stress. It was talking about how it's just a construct. It's just something our minds create, and that sometimes we maybe feel like we don't have enough time, but that's just a relative thing. Or we feel like we don't have control, but that's just a relative thing too. And sometimes, and it said that the people who are stressed the most tend to, in a weird way, crave stress. And I was reading that while I was stressed out, and I was like, oh, this is so interesting. And it said, it's because you want to have something to do. you feel like, oh, I have this problem. Like, I can really make good progress on it by freaking out for 20 minutes. And it's like, I do that all the time. But I'm starting to laugh at myself about it more. Because here's the deal. I really want to be actively engaged. I want to do so many amazing things in life. I want to put myself out there. I want to fall down and get back up. And I want to lead an interesting life. And challenges will come with that. Stress is how I choose to respond to those challenges. So things that keep me up at night are many things. But I actually don't really have issues going to sleep. Sometimes I notice my heart rate getting up in the day, but then I kind of catch myself and I remember, oh, okay, that's stress. Like, maybe this isn't a real thing. This is just something that my brain is telling my body to create chemicals around, and that I can take a deep breath and maybe do some meditation. I'll pet my dog. I'll go on a walk. And I'll try to figure this out, because I have to believe that there are always ways forward to different things, that freaking out doesn't help anything. We don't have to change everything about what's around us, to change our feelings. Like, I think we have more powerful than we think. And I don't mean to play down. Like, I think talking about mental health issues is important and amazing. And it's something that's helped me a lot. Like, I can tell you that I put in a lot of work on my relationship with stress. And I think I realized that I've been stressed out so much in my life needlessly. But my relationship with it is a product of the hard work that I put in, because I really crave, I know that I deserve a great relationship with stress in the, now and for the rest of my life. I hope that answers your question.
No, it does. And it's actually so interesting, because I've never thought about it that way, that maybe we just create it. I mean, I know sometimes in relationships, or I don't know, when you feel insecure, sometimes you look for issues. Yes. And maybe I can apply that mindset to stress. Like what you were saying, maybe when, not that necessarily I'm bored, but maybe I don't have too much on my plate. So the things that I do have on my plate, I'm putting so much weight on it. And I think it's also just personality sometimes, because I'm definitely one of those people who I like can't sit still. Like, I need to be constantly doing something, which is why like this pandemic, at least for the first 3 months, were so difficult for me.
Oh my gosh.
Because I was like forced, you know, you were forced to like sit still. And like an entrepreneur, like I need to be constantly moving. Like, even though I work from home, you know, before this, I was still changing my scenery and environment by going to the city, having meetings, and just creating my own schedule. So it's really interesting, and I feel like I'm definitely going to take that and remind myself whenever I am stressed.
I have one of my best friends, she moved to Greece, and she was like Miss New York, right?
Mm-hmm.
Lucy Sue. I interviewed her for my brand, because I just think she's like effing incredible. But she, I was talking about, because Greece is like more of a chill culture, right? Mm-hmm. And she was, you know, she and I went to like undergrad business school together. She was like Miss Wall Street. And then she left and she moved to Greece. And I was talking to her about it, just sort of the different culture. And she was laughing. She says that it's made her way chill out. Mm-hmm. But that when she has friends visit from New York or from the US, like, she had one friend from New York who was visiting her in Athens, and he'd go on a run every single morning in this one park and did it for like 4 days. And every day at the same time, he'd see this old Greek man in the park, and the man would be like watching him go by. And then on the fifth day, the older man stopped him in the middle of the park, and he's like, "Hey, stop. Who's chasing you?" And she's like, "What is this phrase that people say? They're like if you're kind of running around, it's like, who's chasing you?" You know? And I was and we were laughing about this because we're like, we both still like, I'm so curious and I love doing all these things, but I definitely, like what you were saying, I definitely just love being busy too. And that's something that I don't necessarily think is a good thing. Like, I don't know. I have a weird relationship with it. I don't know what you think about this.
No, I totally agree. Because I love traveling, and I always tell people, I'm like, the Europeans are doing it right. Like, I feel like they are living life and they're doing life correctly, even though, again, like, what does that even mean? You know?
Yeah.
I feel like they say that Americans, what is the phrase? It's like, we work to live. And wait, is it we work to live and they live to? No, we live to work and they work to live. Yeah, I think that's how.
Yeah, that's you got the phrasing right. Yeah, which I think, okay. So I think that, like, what I love is when people are really connected to what they're doing. And mm-hmm. I think that if you're connected to what you're doing, you are actively doing your, you know, like if you need to work hard to make something happen, oh my gosh, go for it. Sometimes though, like I've noticed that there's a difference between being busy and actually getting stuff done.
Totally. And
so I'm like, I work very hard. I know many people work very hard, and I don't necessarily think that like hard work's a bad thing, but it's also not like, it doesn't like make you a better person. You know, I'm not going to respect you more. If you work intentionally, that's great. But it doesn't, I think sometimes like we get caught up in, oh, well, if you're not like, I have to be crushing it all the time, otherwise I'm not legit, like that sort of mentality. And I fall into that sometimes, but you know, that sort of mentality I think is definitely there and is something my friend and I were laughing about. Do you ever feel that?
I do. I feel like, yeah, I mean, you're right. There's also, you know, Tim Ferriss's book, The 4-Hour Workweek.
Yeah.
You read that?
I haven't. My husband has. I haven't read it though.
But his basic sense, like message is like what you were saying, that it's about working, not necessarily working the most, right? It's not about like clocking in your hours, but it's like out of all those hours that you are quote unquote working, how many of them are they the most productive? And for the most part, it's like we don't, especially in just American culture, like we don't need to be in the office from like 9 to 5. That has been the norm. And I don't know how many people can say that from those hours, Monday to Friday, you are absolutely, you're productive. And I feel like it's about finding ways that you are, again, just most focused. I mean, like, it's the same thing what you were saying. It's about just like working more efficiently and effectively.
I'll have to read that. That's really interesting.
Yeah. So I want to shift gears a little bit, and my podcast is called The City Confessions, because after I, you know, have my guests come on and introduce themselves and tell us about their story and who they are, I like to ask, like at the end, if you can share a confession. It's like a running theme through all my episodes, and the reason why is because I feel like, again, we all have such interesting lives. We do different things. We have different backgrounds. But I think most of the time when we share a confession, there's an overarching theme that a lot of us can relate to. And I want to preface this by saying that there's no such thing as a good confession or a bad confession. And it can be very surface level, or it can be on the deeper side, whatever you're comfortable sharing. So if you were to complete the sentence of my confession is, what would that be?
Oh, wow.
If you're like a little stump, some of the questions that I ask.
Yeah, give me some clues here.
It's usually like fun facts, or like what is one thing you wish people knew about you, or they would find surprising about you. Maybe a misconception people have of you. Something you wish people would ask more about you, but they don't. Any of those like ring, like if they like bring something to your mind?
I grew up in a family business environment, and I think that's really shaped my life. So I thought it was really weird when I was younger. And I was a kid being raised by entrepreneurs and like never going on vacation because we were putting everything into the business, like working in a factory, you know, when I was like 7 years old, trying to, you know, learning accounting when I was super young. Like my parents worked in food. So, you know, learning all this stuff and just sort of doing a lot of stuff and seeing my parents just work really hard, but also, you know, having to work hard to help my family business when I was really young, I think I just thought was super weird. So I never talked about it when I was a younger kid. But I think that I really respect people who have those experiences. And I think it's made me respect entrepreneurs so much more too. I think that experience is my superpower. And I think my parents are superheroes. But, I think too that, that it's something I don't talk about that much. Like, it's interesting sort of entrepreneurship culture. There's like this very, you know, Forbes 30 under 30 on a panel, like in a cool outfit, like speaking at Girl Boss, like that kind of stuff, or like speaking at these cool things and, you know, kind of like this buzzworthy press release entrepreneurship. But then you look around, like you want to find entrepreneurs, they're on your block, they're in your small town, they're the restaurants trying to stay open right now. They're the shops.
Oh my God. I love that.
No, seriously. And it's like gritty. A lot of it's just really gritty. And I think that that's real. Like when it's kind of funny because I know how to get the word out there, if that makes sense. And I work really hard at that. And, I think that there's this culture right now of like, everyone loves talking about entrepreneurship, which is great, but it's a funny thing sort of having grown up, with people. Like I know so many people have had their parents be entrepreneurs, and so many people in the city, or, you know, probably the kids of entrepreneurs in the city, and their parents didn't really have anyone interviewing them for podcasts or writing stories about them. And I just think that there's so much honor, in small business owners, you know, in the US and all over is something that's kind of something I'm thinking about a lot. Yeah.
No, I love that.
A little bit, but.
No, it's such an interesting thought. And I think it's true. I mean, I feel like even like with all the guests that I've had, I mean, first of all, it's been very diverse. And some people are not like more known, but, you know, maybe they'll have like a set career. Other people are starting businesses. Some people are just like figuring life out. But I do think that everybody has something special about them, and it really isn't about the title. I think that's what it is. Yeah. It's like everybody has something to offer, and everybody's story is valid, which is again why I decided to create this platform to really just celebrate that. But with that being said, how do you personally define success, and what does happiness mean to you, and what does happiness look like?
Ooh, okay. I think success is a journey. I think that success is I don't think success is a monetary thing. I think success is a journey. I think that it's about, and I don't necessarily like the word balance too. So I'm not going to be like, oh, when everything's perfectly balanced, but I think that it's like, you're successful when you find purpose and meaning in the work you're doing and the people you're around and when you're engaged and when you can find lightness and happiness in the journey. That's really cool. And I forget your second question. What does a successful life look like? Is that what you said?
What does happiness look like to you?
Ooh, definitely petting my dog's belly while like having chocolate in one hand and like wine in another. That's probably happiness. So I'd have to be petting her with my toes or something. I don't know how that would work. I think happiness is like honestly really small moments. It's like sometimes how, you know, maybe a friend reaches out at just the moment you need them, or maybe you're able to do the same thing for them. You know, maybe the way, like the way the leaves were blowing in a flower bush yesterday, and I saw a hummingbird just sort of wandering by in the park at the same time. Maybe it's like the light flickering on the water when my dog is hopping in and out. And I think happiness is a lot of small moments that help. Like I always try to sort of, my husband and I do this. We do a gratitude practice. Like we kind of, you know, say prayers before meal, but we say every day, we say a few things we're grateful for in that day out loud. And it sounds kind of weird, I know, but it helps you find beautiful things in the day. And some days are crappy, but there are always nice things in crappy days too. And I think that a lot of happiness is, it's not about how much you have in your life, you know, material wise, it's finding the beautiful things. And I think that you can have a mindset where you're looking for happiness too. And happiness is very much tied to gratitude.
I couldn't agree more. Everything that you said, I'm like, yes, yes, yes. And I also practice gratitude. And I believe that once you practice gratitude, you are more at peace with your life and obviously more grateful for what you have. And all your problems and worries, like, they are nothing once you practice gratitude.
Yeah.
But I want to take a moment now to just acknowledge you, your presence, your energy, your answers, your positive mindset, and just showing up. I really appreciate that because I know that time is so valuable. Like these last, 42 minutes, we're definitely not getting back. And the fact that you decided to spend it talking with me and my audience, I'm so grateful for that. And I do also want to mention that your voice is so calming. Like when I'm talking to you, I'm not even joking. I'm like, that's why I just want to like keep, I mean, I know obviously we have to stop recording, but I can listen to you all day. And I feel like you're so full of wisdom and everything you say, I'm just like taking it all in because it's so powerful. And I just love your mindset. It's very contagious in a, obviously in a good way. And I'm sure my listeners have gotten some value out of it. So I just want to take a moment now to say thank you for that.
Marianne, that was, you are bringing tears to my eyes. That was really nice.
No, it's true though.
And thank you for giving me the opportunity to be on here and for chatting with you and for setting this space too.
Of course. And before we wrap up, here's your chance to plug in anything you want my listeners to know. I will also leave all of your information as well as Copina Co's in the show notes. But do you have any secret projects you're working on, and what can the world be on the lookout from you or Copina Co in the next month or in 2021?
Ooh, okay. So new products are coming out for Copina Co by the end of the year. That is my goal. I'm putting it out there. And Copina Co is launching into Urban Outfitters stores and online in the beginning of November, which is really exciting. And you can find Copina Co in Erewhon, in independent stores near you, on our website, copinaco.com. You can follow us at Copina Co for a lot of fun, yummy recipes, information about what great botanicals are out there and why plants are so awesome. You can follow me for really cute pictures of my dog, lattes, smoothies, and daily inspiration and a bit of insight into what it's like to being an entrepreneur. And I hope to always be evolving and growing, and I wish the same for everyone listening.
Oh, that's such a beautiful note to end on. Well, thank you so much again, Carolyn, for coming on and speaking with us. I hope you guys all enjoy this episode, and be sure to follow Carolyn and her amazing company, Copina Co. I will leave all of her information, as I've mentioned before, in the show notes. So be sure to check that out. And I hope you guys are safe and stay warm. Or, I was going to say stay warm, but not everybody's in New York. So dress appropriately and just take care of your health. And stay tuned for next week's episode. All right. Bye.